You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and returning from wherever he's located now is TFG on Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike, and I have a podcasting problem.
He has a pandemic.
Yeah, I have a poddemic.
He has a poddemic. He has too many podcasts to listen to, and they just keep collecting.
Kind of.
Oh, I had to play that joke. So anyways, without further ado, we're going to jump right into the topic today to discuss, well, the death of theaters and the rise of streaming, more or less. Basically, the good, the bad, the ugly of both sides of the coin. And for the initial conversation, I'm going to reference some news articles that I found. And we're going to go on the side of the good, the bad, the ugly with the cinemas.
Okay.
And then play devil's advocate with the streaming after. So, Christopher Nolan kind of mentioned a post-coronavirus future of... we need what movies can offer us, basically saying that it was acknowledged that regular people, as in quotations, behind the glamour of the movie business and identify the reasons why theater going is a collective cathartic experience. Basically to just kind of forget life and, you know, have fun. At least that's what it used to be. aside from the fact that it's, you know, sometimes overcharged for the cost, and you know, there were so many movies.
Prices aside, going to the movie theater was an escape. All entertainment, no matter what entertainment you like, whether it's opera, whether it's a rap concert, whether it's a wrestling match, whether it's a boxing match, whether it's a fight over the last good glass of drinking water in Flint, Michigan, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
All entertainment is an escape from your life. It is entertainment. It's supposed to entertain you no matter what it is. And with the movie theaters, it was a place to go other than your home. You could go and sit in fairly decent, okay seats for the most part. Over the years, they've upgraded. They've done the stadium seated things and everything else, and it's cool and it's whatever. Some theaters still haven't upgraded, sadly. But you could go for 2 hours or sometimes less and sometimes more and watch a movie and be fine and happy. For me, how I approached going to the theater, unless I was with my mom or somebody or other people, I would go at the most opportune time for me, which was mostly like 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time on a Monday morning when everybody's just getting back from lunch and going back to work. So basically the theater would be empty because nobody should be there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday morning. Take any number of the Transformers live action films. I think I saw, out of the ones I did see in theaters, I think I saw two of them the Monday after they released, and there was nobody in the theater. Because I am not a person that likes crowds at all. You know, you mentioned last week about the introvert-extrovert thing. I'm both. But generally, I prefer to be away from people. I've been social distancing since I was 10 years old. but the movie theater, it was cool. It was great. You could get something to eat if you wanted to, or a drink or a snack or whatever. Generally, I never got drinks because I didn't want to have to be that moron that got up in the middle of the movie day because you had to go to the bathroom. Kind of, I hate that. So it was great. It was cool. It was something on a large screen, and it was fun going to theaters. And lately, it hasn't been so much fun because it costs so much.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, like, being where I am in my point in life, I just don't have time to go, and it's not really on my radar. Like, so generally, I do wait for streaming, and do I love the experience of going to the theater? Yes. Because honestly, there's nothing quite like it.
Right.
Because you get the giant screen, you get the surround sound, you get the full immersion into it. Whereas when you're at home, you know, you have distractions, you use your phone, you you may be doing something else while you're watching it. Like, I have two monitors, like generally I'll play a game on one, I'll watch Netflix on the other. And so it's kind of a toss up of what I'm paying attention to. But that being said, other than when I lived in the Flint area and having the annoying person that had like the loudest freaking bags of food in the world, crackling around me, or that couldn't stop talking on their phone or stop talking in general. So you could get immersed in it. I genuinely did enjoy going, especially for something that I liked, like, you know, the Star Trek, or, you know, I saw Star Wars in there for a while, and then I didn't see the last one, but in the theater, but yeah, I mean, there was a lot of reasons to go. The only problem that I see now that they've had to utterly close, aside from the fact they're going to have to do a deep clean when they open back up because of, you know, cobwebs, is that we've hit that point where instead of $1 billion box offices, we have a $0 box office. And you went from having, like, back in the day, they were like, you know, okay, we would have like a couple of huge movies every month, and, you know, you'd have like a kind of a rotating panel of some movies every week, you know, enough for like every day of the week, pretty much. Instead of having like anywhere from like 15 to 20 movies come out every week. Which is what we were getting. Honestly, a majority of them, with the platform that we're on now with having streaming in movie theaters, about half of those should go to streaming, because there's a lot of them that are not strong enough contenders for the theater. And there are some where you should be fully immersed and be in the theater for them. And it's going to be really telling when this is over, when this whole pandemic is over. Because this huge monumental amount of movie theaters that are shut down across the globe, some of the services like NBC, their Peacock service they have, NBC Universal, which granted, NBC and Universal are both owned by Comcast, who's also a cable company, an ISP, and just content provider as well. They broke the theatrical window, which they've been trying to do for years. Even as Comcast, before they went in Xfinity, they've been trying to break this for years in trying to have like pay-per-view movies where you get them immediately. Well, now they can actually do that because they have their own service and they can use their Xfinity X1. It says they will make movies available on demand immediately. Granted, you know, some, like DreamWorks, the Trolls movie that came out, which it says that, you know, insiders say the movie isn't a blanket policy for the studio's entire 2020 calendar, and that decisions regarding other titles and the duration of the policy haven't been made yet. But I have a feeling that we're going to start seeing kind of a trickle down effect of certain movies immediately going this route. And what they're doing to compensate is, it says movies will be made available on a wide variety of on-demand services for a 48-hour rental period at a suggested retail price of $19.99. In other words, the same cost it would be to buy the DVD when it comes out. And they're saying in the U.S. and the price equivalent and whatever it is in the international markets, they're basically saying that they're also trying to provide options for consumers who cannot or should not go to the cinemas. Which I kind of like that option to see it from home. However, I think, like, and I get that they're charging that much because it's a new release. You're going to be watching it from your home, like the convenience of it. And they're estimating that you would be buying, they estimated that you would be buying enough tickets for everyone in your family. But yeah, I don't know. Like it doesn't seem that bad. All right. So anyways, I was stating that the 1999 suggested retail price for 48-hour rental window for the movies, while I like the concept and the idea, because there I have a feeling this is going to stick around when the theaters come back. Whether they all come back or not is a different story, but I have a feeling that this is going to stick because they've been trying to get this market for quite some time and to have this readily available now.
Right.
I think that it's going to stick. And for like, for instance, for me, like I don't go to the theater because I don't have time to go. Now, granted, when I go, it's usually solo anyway. And so that would be like a $7 or $8, you know, drop right there. So $19.99 is not bad if you're having the whole family watch it. Like I kind of get it there, but I can't see a lot of people like our generation or younger paying $20 a month to go see every new movie that comes out. To be honest, like especially when there's other means that China provides. You know,
Author Geek and the Geekcast Radio Network do not adhere to stolen China viruses.
No, or you know, they're pirates.
Yeah,
but like I honestly don't care. I'll just wait till it hits streaming and then watch it legitimately. But yeah, so like they're talking like all these different companies are having to kind of shift their paradigm of how they're going to do things, or you know, like MGM was the first studio to make a major shift when pushing the James Bond movie No Time to Die from late April to November in hopes that it will still come out in the theater. So and then you know, like there's some other movies that have shifted from this year to this time next year to try and avoid it. So it's going to be kind of a interesting time with the theaters, kind of trying to predict what directions they're going. But I do know that if people do not return to them after they open back up, that it's going to collapse this entire system of movie theaters.
Probably.
As unfortunate as that is, people basically become habitual on how it works. And especially with the other aspect of, you know, why go to the trouble and spend the money when you can go to Netflix and watch it on your account already. So,
yep. So you were talking about the 48-hour rental period for $19.99.
Yes.
And that's through Comcast and Xfinity and all that.
Yes. Or the Peacock or NBC Universal. I'm not really entirely sure on that.
Okay. Well, if it really is $20 for a 48-hour rental period,
for a theater movie, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, here's the thing. I can go on Vudu right now. I can click on Birds of Prey, Onward, Bloodshot, Doolittle, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Any of those films, let's take Bloodshot, for example, the new Vin Diesel one based on the comic book series. I can click buy on that and own it for $20. No 48 rental period needed. So NBC Universal, Comcast, the Peacock, whatever they're doing, 48-hour rental period, my butt. Forget that. If I've got the $20, I want to own that damn film. And I would rather buy it through Vudu or through whatever other app service, you know, iTunes, whatever. I would rather purchase it and have it in my library instead of just having to spend $20 that I don't have to spend on a 48-hour rent. That's ridiculous. 48-hour rental period is dumb. The smart way to go is to actually be able to buy it for the same price and actually own it. That's no. like software.
I get that totally, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I could sit here, if I had the money, if I was super rich, I could spend $100 right now on Vudu, and I could have all 9 Star Wars films. I don't know necessarily which version the prequels and the original trilogy are in, but it's all 9 of the main films for $100. That's not bad. Now, I know some people, like our compatriot in podcasting, Mike Booth Ninja Powers, will argue HD quality and video quality and all of that. But for me, streaming has become, and it has been for years now, just a matter of convenience.
Yeah, that's more so for me, the same issue. Like, I personally don't care to... I don't care about the 1080p or the 4K. Like, yeah. Especially 4K doesn't bother me because one, Comcast is horrible about allowing it to work properly. So in that regard, I don't really care about 4K. And honestly, I'm not going to notice the difference enough for it to matter. I mean, I've got an old plasma TV from like 10 years ago that still works. And so, like, I'm not going to take advantage of it anyway. Doesn't bother me. But I do like the whole, you know, at least having the pretty good quality, like at least 720 or 1080 is perfect enough for me. Like, I'm not going to quibble over it. So like it doesn't, like I get it from like a movie aficionado's like perspective, like Booth Ninja, but like for myself, like I could care less.
So going back to Bloodshot on Vudu, I can click buy and it gives me 3 options: SD, HDX, I don't know what the X stands for, but basically HDX and UHD. All of them are $20, whatever quality you want to own the film. Now, if movie theaters or studios wanted to do something like here, and I know this is silly because they won't, but instead of charging $20 for a 48-hour rental, charge $20 for a 30-day rent. Like, that's my biggest issue. $20 for 2 days? No. That just doesn't seem right to me at all.
Yeah, the only thing is you buy on these services, though,
mm-hmm.
you're constrained to that service. You don't actually own it. So it's no different in a sense. Like, yes, you can watch it whenever you want, as long as they don't alter the deal.
Well, so far they haven't altered the deal because with, and again, not trying to promote Walmart or whatever, but it's their service. Vudu is, Vudu. I connected my iTunes library to, and because I had already pre-purchased all of that stuff, I can go to my movies and I have everything that I've, almost everything that I've purchased in iTunes since 2006, and I can still watch it all. So that's all that really matters to me. Now, if you want to talk about other streaming services like Netflix and Hulu and other things like Amazon Prime Video, Disney Plus, Boomerang, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy almost all of that. I have different shows on different things, but like Disney Plus, I love all of their legacy content kind of stuff. And I like some of the new stuff too as well. I love Mandalorian. Netflix, I watch maybe 5 or 6 or 7 shows. I'm most active on Hulu because I constantly rewatch stuff on Hulu. So, I mean, we now live in a streaming world.
So what do you see this heavily impacting the future of movie theaters?
It would be kind of hard not to, because who wants to go to a movie theater with, let's say you go on opening night at 7 p.m. That's usually when everybody goes, Friday night or Wednesday night, or whichever opening night it is. Let's just say Friday, for example. Okay. Mm-hmm. You pay your money. You pay your money, whatever it is, whatever you want to pay, whatever. You get in there and say there are maybe 50 people there. And 15 of them cough at various points throughout the 2-hour film or whatever. Now that we live, even though we're still in the middle of COVID-19, I don't want to say we're post it yet, but do people really want to sit in a movie theater for 2 hours with anyone coughing, whether they're sick or not? Like, the precaution of stay at home. Don't go out unless you have to. So that precaution, that quote-unquote mandate that the world is taking at large, I guess, makes streaming a much more viable and interesting option. Personally, for me, on streaming, unless I'm active, unless it isn't something I've seen, take the John Wick movies, all three of them. I love them all, but I had never seen them before. I was behind the curve on that, so I checked them out. So I sat here for nearly 6 hours watching those three films. Okay. You know me. I can sit somewhere for 6 hours and do something. I did a 6-hour podcast one time. You know, so, but I hadn't seen it before. I was super engrossed in it. I was whatever. If I needed to get up to go to the bathroom, I just hit pause on my phone or my TV or whatever. And I got up, go to the bathroom. If I wanted to get a snack, I could go get a snack and the thing would still be on pause and I could still pick up back from where I left off. In the movie theater, you don't have that luxury. Like I said a little while ago, if you go, you get, you know, your large Coke or whatever it is, drink, and halfway through the movie, you have to go to the bathroom. Well, you have to go to the bathroom and you miss out on part of the movie. Why am I spending $12 to $13 plus food and then having to go to the bathroom and miss part of the movie that I spent the money to see? I would rather watch it at home at my own pace.
And you can pause it.
Exactly.
If you've got to pee, pause it. Wah, wah. Anyways, but yeah, like on a whole, like I'm kind of in favor on both sides of the fence there. Only because, like, again, I like the aspect of going to the theater, but on the other hand, I don't want to spend $20 to see it at home is more so what it is. So like I would just as soon wait to see it when it hits normal streaming. But I do, again, like the idea as an option, because some people maybe can't, or it's too hard to go.
Yep.
And
here's
and
the so thing for
this,
me,
like Dodd, you know, this would be great for him. Perfect. Because then he doesn't have to worry about going to the theater and he can see everything he wants.
Exactly. So here's the thing for me, besides what I already mentioned. Whenever this virus gets gone or whatever ends up happening to us in this world that we now live in, movie theaters should be specialty items now. By that, I mean something like an anniversary marker. Like I mentioned earlier in this episode, the 30th anniversary of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is on March 30th. Obviously, no one's going to go to the theater to watch that movie right now because of the virus at this point in time. But you see my point. If a year from now, the 31st anniversary, or hell, even 5 years from now, the 35th anniversary of that film. That's what I think theaters should be now at this point, is something that is a special event type of thing. Like when they did the 30th anniversary of Transformers the movie back in 2016? No, that's not right. Was yeah, it
2016?
Is. 2016? 2017? I don't know. Whatever. They basically re-released the film for a limited engagement. Well, 2016 would have been the 30th anniversary, but I think they didn't do it until 2017 because Karen and I saw it because we were there with Ender. Anyway, like back in 2013, my mom and I saw Top Gun in theaters because it was back for a limited engagement kind of thing. I think now, more than ever, that's what theaters should try their best to cater to. And it can be any film. Look at any old film. They all have anniversaries at some point. So the theaters could still have whatever new films they're going to have, but their bread and butter should be catering to the nostalgia, because I don't want to go to the movie theater and be amongst all those people. Like I said earlier, I pick a time for a movie and I avoid every single other person. So why not just have me stay home and watch it on my own TV for whatever price?
No, I mean, I totally get it. But yeah, I don't know. Like I'm kind of torn. Like I said, just trying to make sense of that.
Yeah.
But the flip side is, there's a Chrome extension for something called Netflix Party. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, I've seen the stories about Netflix Party.
So basically you create Netflix parties to watch favorite movies together and shows, and you know, you stay in sync with friends while watching. So basically, instead of having to go, all right, on the count of three, press play. you start a party, you copy the URL, you invite everybody, and then everybody's at the same part.
Right, exactly.
Which honestly is awesome. And truthfully, if having this extension makes it easier, I would so watch and do commentaries on some stuff.
Yeah, this extension should be for all services, not just Netflix. But yeah. I understand why Netflix came up with it.
I don't know if Netflix came up with it, but...
Okay, well, it's called Chrome, Netflix, whatever.
Yeah, it's netflixparty.com. I don't know who owns the rights to it, though. It's not Netflix. It can't be. But I don't know. Yeah, it says support us on Patreon, so...
Oh, okay, well...
It's not Netflix, but
it's okay. Cool. Well, it's not Netflix. Heaven forbid we say something that's factually inaccurate on this podcast.
We might get accused of liking Hulu, you know. I had to bring back that old joke.
Oh, the old death threats. Gotta love that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Because
anyway,
we talked about Netflix too much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would be awesome if you had a party watch availability thing, because like I said before, once I eventually get my computer out here and the setup and everything else, once I'm back to full production, I actually have a plan of putting the TV that we have in storage above where my desk is going to go, so I can actually sit here and record commentaries without having to have it actively go through my computer, because that was always the biggest hurdle for me, was being able to record the show on Skype and being able to also semi hear the film, but I had to watch it all on one thing. Now that, you know, I have my computer and I have my TV that's separate, I can mount the TV on the wall, sit there and watch it on the TV and still record it through Skype, through whatever. And it's like, that was one of my biggest things before my wife and I moved out here, was eventually this year I want to do a hell of a lot more commentaries, because once we have this set up in the apartment, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier for me to do so.
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to doing some commentaries of some episodes or some, you know, shorter based content. I don't think I could sit through like a movie per se and do one, unless it was like a shorter movie. Like if you're talking like a Marvel film, probably not. But like if we were doing, like watch through play of the new Animaniacs cartoon, for instance, I'd probably be down for that, like getting initial reactions and things like that. That could be something fun to do.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So I guess the question to the listeners is, do you think we're witnessing the slow death of movie theaters? And that this whole thing is just basically an easy way for content creation companies to say, we're going to just kind of abandon that old model and see what happens. And you know, you have to watch it on here. We're not going to release things to the theater anymore. And so I just kind of wonder where this is going and how long they're going to keep it going if they don't keep it going continuously. But I think doing a hybrid model instead of dumping their load on marketing, like mass marketing on content that they're unsure of in the theater, I think releasing it to their streaming platforms is a much more feasible concept, and then having the ones that you know are going to clearly be juggernauts in the theater that will put butts in seats, it would be a win-win for both sides anyway. But let's put because think about it, there's quite a few movies that don't put a lot of butts in seats. You know, like when you make a sixth sequel to Terminator and you reboot RoboCop and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole reboot thing is a continual discussion here at the network that happens every, rears its ugly head every once in a while.
Well, about every 6 months I bring it up. It's an episode every 6 months, I've noticed.
Yeah. And the funny thing is the reason why it keeps happening, not that you keep bringing it up, but the reason why the reboots and the remakes and all that keep happening is because original ideas don't seem to perform that well.
Some do, very few, but some.
There's a 5%, 95% ratio of which do and which don't. But I don't know. And I, you know, speaking as someone who is ruled by nostalgia most of the time, I actually can't wait to eventually see Knives Out. Looks really interesting. Plus, I like Chris Evans, so there's that. I mean, like I said, I missed the boat on the John Wick movies, but I've caught up now, and I don't know if they would necessarily be your movies. I know you like action movies, but he's a former assassin that gets pulled back into the life kind of thing, and it's kind of a little bit of a violent movie series, so I'm like not sure Taken. It'd be your... Yeah, a little bit, but better than that. So, I don't know. It's just going to depend on when we eventually recover from everything that's going on in the world.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to have to reinvent themselves to stay relevant or stay open after this, because habits have been broken now and people are going to have new habits form where they readjust to a different way of life.
Yep.
And unfortunately, just like the comics that we discussed in the previous episode, the theater is going to be another one. And honestly, comics and the theater have been faltering for years, and it doesn't show any sign of getting better. Now, the theater has been doing decent with as far as its blockbusters are concerned, but in general, they're not doing as hot as they used to do. But I think it was also because it was affordable, people had disposable income, and there were less movies that people wanted to see. And so when you're having to pick and choose between movies at the theater, it just makes it that much more difficult to... Because like if there was three movies out in the same week that I wanted to see, I'm probably only going to see one. And then the other two will be relegated to a streaming platform later or a rental service.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I mean, not... And that's a whole other discussion, not that we want to get super philosophical, but, you know, you mentioned about having disposable income. You have to have a decent paying job or whatever, and jobs right now, we're relegated to non-essential and essential. And
that's pretty much everybody.
When I say we, I don't mean just you and I.
No, I know.
I mean... Everyone, yes. Not just the U.S., but everywhere. Specifically the U.S., though. Here's the thing. I've always had an appreciation for any, what others might term a menial job, like Walmart. Any job at Walmart, anything, that kind of thing. I've always had utmost respect for those people because I worked for Walmart for an entire week back in 2001. I couldn't do it. I just could not do it. I worked for another grocery store. I actually worked for Kroger for 4 months at the end of 2000. And I was the only reason why I was able to do that job back then was because in 2000 in Kroger still had a video store section back then.
I've never seen that. I've never seen that. As far as I've seen, they've had like the red box stuff outside, but like, I mean, I know that's right. A fairly recent thing, but no, I've never seen them with. Now, were they were to purchase, right?
No, it was rental.
Oh no. I've never seen that. Yeah. I've seen where they've sold movies in there, but
no, yeah. No, Kroger sells movies all the time. They always have, but there was a section of the store, just like there's a pharmacy section, just like there's a customer service section, you know, whatever. There was a dedicated video rental section in the Kroger that I worked at because that's the part of the store. That's the only part of the store that I could actually get a job in because all I had to do was stand there and count change and give people recommendations on what I think they'd like to rent that night. Have them fill out the... Basically, it was Blockbuster.
You look like a Liam Neeson person. Come pick up your movie.
Dude, my Make Me Famous story from working there those 4 months, this family, mother, father, and twin daughters. Daughters were... I was, let's see, 20 when I worked there. They were maybe 19 or 20, somewhere around there. So they all come in, and they're looking for this movie. They give me three things. It has Morgan Freeman, Christian Slater, and a lot of water. I took a beeline to the H section and I pointed out Hard Rain, and that was the movie they were looking for. I was a movie master back then. When I worked at that store, because I could pick out almost anything immediately.
It's ridiculous. When we lived in Michigan, my in-laws, we'd go over there. I'd no sooner step in the door, take my shoes off, walk into the living room. Within 5 seconds, I knew what movie they were watching. And they're like, man, how'd you know that? And I'm like, I heard a voice. And I says, part of it's the music, or, you know, it didn't matter where the movie was in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
I could pick out the movie within 5 seconds, and I did that a couple weeks ago to Mary. But truth be told, I saw she had a handful of movies in her hand, so I was able to narrow it down fairly quickly. But before I had even heard 2 seconds of the movie, I was like, "You're watching this, aren't you?" And she's like, "How did you?" She says, "That's just ridiculous." And I was like, "I says, well,
what was
actually
the movie?"
I don't remember. It was, we were jumping through some different ones. We just recently watched Liar Liar too, so I was having fun with that. I was having a depressed day. Like, I just felt down in the dumps, and I was just not happy. And yeah. She's like, all right, why don't we watch Liar Liar? Because I know you like Jim Carrey. I hate him, but she says, at least it's not Ace Ventura. So, and she's like, this movie has a plot. And I says, well, that one does too. I said, he's just a complete idiot. And she says, well, it's not she says, Dumb and Dumber is smarter than Ace Ventura. I says, no, actually, Dumb and Dumber is dumber than Ace Ventura.
Yeah,
I says, I would watch Ace Ventura before I'd watch Dumb and Dumber. But yeah, so it was just funny. I was like, and I was cackling at the movie like I'd never seen it before. And she was like, okay. She's like, get a grip. She says, like, it's funny, but it's not that funny. And I says, it's hilarious. I'm like, I says, I could die laughing right now because I was so like irritated and depressed before watching it. And then after watching it, I was just like, this is hilarious.
I know I've mentioned this to you before, but you guys are kind of like me. You're not horror genre people, right?
Oh, no.
Okay,
she
well.
She used to be, but she doesn't watch them anymore. It creeps her out.
Okay. Well, this is more of, I guess you could say, comedy horror kind of thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It was a movie that he did a long ass time ago. Long time. Once Bitten. Show her that and see what she says, because it basically, he's a teenage kid who this countess vampire lady needs the blood of a virgin in order to continue to be undead or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so hilarious how things are done in this in this film. It's so weird. But it's Jim Carrey, and it's not, it's early, like, before famous Jim Carrey.
Interesting.
It's just so fun. Yeah, I love that movie. I always have.
I'm more of a funny Jim Carrey person, but he wasn't actually that bad in Sonic, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard that. And
he actually was really good in that, and it was kind of true to form with his 90s persona, and he fit it really well, and he wasn't like...
If you like it, you like it.
Yeah.
So the point is, I will send you the trailer, and you can decide for you. Like I said, I had seen this in the mid-90s. I think it's an 80s movie. I could be...
It is. Yeah. It is. I'm familiar with it. But... I think before this craps out on us again, because we're amidst the continuation of the coronavirus, like, internet exodus, where everybody lives online now, I don't want it to cut out again. So we're going to cut this short.
Yes, yes, we are.
So where can the good people find you online?
In some back alley in the, I don't know. I'm at TF.
We buried him with a shovel.
That's right. It's a shovel. I'm at TFG1 Mike on Twitter.
And I'm at SCP21 on Twitter. You can leave us feedback on this episode on geekcastradio.com or the Facebook page or Twitter or wherever you feel so inclined. You can send us an email too. feedback@alteredgeek.com. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.